The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Yoav Drian.
Siman Tzadi Tes, Siman 99, Dine Mukta B'Yom Tov, the laws of Mukta on Yom Tov on holidays. Sif Aleph. Actually, before we start Sif Aleph, just as a preface. So, the laws of Mukta, or Mukta, the concept of Mukta, are items which may not be handled or moved on Shabbos or Yom Tov, on Sabbath or holidays, and the reason it is a rabbinic decree. It's a rabbinic decree, and there are multiple different reasons why there is a mukta that applies to all sorts of utensils or items with which prohibited activities are usually practiced, meaning that, let's say, for example, one is not allowed to handle a power drill on Sabbath or Yom Tov because the use of a power drill would be a violation of several Torah injunctions, and therefore even the handling of it is prohibited, and that handling, that prescribed action is known as mukta. Literally, mukta is that which is set aside, and similar to the word katze, which means like in the edge, and the idea of something being mukta is that basically it is put aside, it is not to be handled or not to be, basically it is, it's outside the pale, it's outside, it's out of bounds. So that is the laws of mukta, quote-unquote, in general, in a brief snapshot. And the laws of mukta are different on Yom Tov, on a holiday, than they are on Shabbos, and the differences are what is spelled out in our siman. Now, Sif Aleph. Kol mukta ha'asura b'tiltul b'Shabbos. Every item of mukta which is prohibited from carrying on Shabbos, asura gam b'Yom Tov. It is also forbidden on Yom Tov, meaning that every single item which is mukta and prohibited on Shabbos, that prohibition extends equally to Yom Tov. V'yesh omrim, and there are those that say, d'gam mukta midas u'mukta mechamas mius. And that is also the case for two additional categories. One is called mukta midas. Mukta midas is that which is set aside. Midas is with intention. In reality, it's really the opposite. It's that which is set aside, and your intention is not to use it. Like, for example, let's say I have, let's say I own a small grocery store, and I have what is in stock for the store, what's like in the back stock room, even though the items in general, like let's say I've got bottles of soda down there. So a bottle of soda itself is not mukta at all. Matter of fact, if you have one in your house, so you normally carry it, you serve from it, that's not a problem. But if I happen to own a grocery store, and so in the stock room, like, you know, in the back, or even on the shelves, I've got merchandise, so when I'm in my house on Shabbos or Yom Tov, I'm not thinking about going down to the store and opening it up and then grabbing something from the shelf or from the stockroom, because that stuff is sort of out of sight, out of mind. That is called mukta midas, that which was set aside for non-Yom Tov or Shabbos use, something which is put out of your mind. The next category is mukta mechamas mius, that which is mukta because it is tremendously distasteful to handle. There are items that are particularly nasty, some sort of mess or something rotted or something like that, and essentially you put it out of mind, meaning that you do not intend to handle it, you do not intend to have anything to do with it, because it is less than pleasant to deal with. If something is not pleasant but is in the space, right? Let's say, for example, a child had an accident, or a full diaper, or all sorts of items which are probably best only alluded to. While those may be mechamas mius, that which is distasteful, there is an allowance to clean it up. The allowance is known as graf shel rei, which literally means a full chamber pot. And that item is definitely allowed to be cleaned up because it is unpleasant to be around. And the purpose of these rabbinic injunctions, or rather I should say, the rabbinic injunctions were made with the idea that we're preserving the sanctity of the Sabbath, and in our case the holiday, and we are not causing undue, house cleaning or undue, unnecessary activities. So those are the reasons, that's the reasoning behind these muktzahs. And so therefore, obviously we can't make these judgment calls on our own, but the Gemara already discusses that part and parcel with the idea of muktzah is the idea, with the idea of a certain rabbinic injunctions. Like muktzah, there is the idea that one is permitted at times to engage, or I should say, to carry these things away, lest their presence spoil the Sabbath atmosphere that we are trying to create. So these two categories of muktzah, muktzah midas, something which is out of mind, and muktzah mechanas mius, that which is tremendously distasteful, those are not forbidden on Shabbos, or rather I should say that they are certainly forbidden or only mildly forbidden on Shabbos, that in cases of need, or in cases, certainly in the case where it will be used for a mitzvah. So on Shabbos, one is permitted to access items of that nature, but the Kitz Shulchan Aruch brings down, he quotes here, that there are those that rule that one may not use them on Yom Tov, right? As we said, afal pi shemutarim b'Shabbos, even though they are permitted on Shabbos, asurim b'Yom Tov. They are forbidden on Yom Tov, right? Now, this is a I don't want to say it's a question, but rather this is a point which is a discussion amongst the poskim and halacha. And so, for practical psak, for practical ruling, one should consult the halachic authority. But this is the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch's view. Now, it is not that these are carte blanche permitted on Shabbos, but they are permitted on Shabbos with many more. In many more circumstances, and perhaps on Yom Tov, those circumstances do not apply. Velachain, and therefore, peros, fruits, or foods, shehikta osam leschora, that one had set them aside for merchandise, for selling, right? Asurim b'Yom Tov, they are forbidden on Yom Tov, one may not partake of them. Ela tzarech sheyazminim be'erev Yom Tov, rather, it is necessary that a person should Yasminim is they should designate them before Yom Tov. Dehainu, meaning Shiyomar, he should say, Mi peros elu ochal amachar. From these fruits I will eat tomorrow. Ube peros ha'omden li macher ma'at ma'at, yesh lahakel. But in fruits that are usually sold little by little, then one can be lenient. Meaning, even according to this idea that that which is set aside for merchandise is not available for consumption, that is the case perhaps with things that are sold in bulk, and therefore you've got a big package of it back in the corner, and you've put it out of mind. You say this is merchandise, this is not food. However, in the case of things which are sold little by little, even the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, who rules stringently that this mukta applies on Yom Tov, allows on Yom Tov for this stuff to be accessed. Se'if Beis. Beita shenolda b'Yom Tov. Sif Beis discusses an egg that was laid on Yom Tov. Now, it is somewhat rare for us to discuss a freshly laid egg. I don't know how many people actually still keep chickens. Baruch Hashem, there are many, 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 many millions of chickens in the world which are responsible for all the eggs that we eat. Although usually it is not as common for those people to have them in their homes. And therefore, but in fact, certainly it was common in the time of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and all throughout the generations. And also, it is a certainly incredibly typical case of the type of mukta that we are discussing, which is called nolad. Right? Nolad is that which came into being. Right? that which came into being on Shabbos or Yom Tov is classified into Nolad. And we're going to see other examples throughout the Siv, but, and since that item, which came into being on Shabbos or Yom Tov, like the egg that was laid, or, for example, ice that melted into water, or, for example, snow that fell on Shabbos or Yom Tov, all those items, quote-unquote, came into being on Shabbos or Yom Tov, and therefore, they were not designated, or should I say pre-designated, for Shabbos or Yom Tov use before Shabbos or Yom Tov, because they only came into being in the middle. That is why they are muktzah. And so we're going to discuss in the Sif exactly how that muktzah applies to Yom Tov. Beis HaShanol de Yom Tov, an egg that was laid on Yom Tov, asura afil betozol. It is forbidden even to carry it. Meaning, certainly, it is forbidden to partake of it. One cannot eat it, but one also may not carry it. Aval, however, mutar lichpos alei akli shelo tishaver. One is allowed to place a utensil above it that it should not break, meaning that if you're talking about like a home farm, so to speak, somebody has, keeps chickens or hens in their house, so the hens lay their eggs, and if the eggs are not properly collected, so they could get pecked, other animals could get to them, right? I'm not really sure how barnyards work, but usually you want to collect the eggs before they go missing. So one may not do that on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. However, one may put a utensil over them lest they break. V'im nolda b'yom rishon, muteres b'yom sheni. However, in the two-day Yomim Tovim, the two-day holidays that exist in the diaspora, in Chutz La'aretz, if the egg was laid on Yom Tov Rishon, if the egg was laid on first day Yom Tov, it is permitted for the following day. V'im Yom Tov sheni hu Shabbos, however, if the second day Yom Tov is Shabbos, asur gam el Shabbos, it is prohibited on Shabbos. V'chein im yom rishon hu Shabbos v'nolda bo asura gam l'machar shehu yom tov sheni. And similarly, if the first day of Yom Tov is Shabbos and the egg was laid on it, then it is prohibited even on the following day, which is Yom Tov sheni. V'chein Shabbos ha-samach l'yom tov bein l'fanav bein l'achrav nolda b'zeh asura b'zeh. And it is the case also if Shabbos is adjacent to Yom Tov, either before it or after it, meaning a three-day Yom Tov with Shabbos either former or latter, what is forbidden on one day is forbidden on the immediately following day. Uberosh Hashana, and on Rosh Hashanah, gam nolda b'yom rishon, even if the egg was laid on the first day, asura gam b'sheni, it is also prohibited on the second day, and in the parentheses he explains, kishnei hayom shel Rosh Hashanah, because the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, keyoma arichta damya. An Aramaic phrase which means kiyoma, like a day, arichta, a long day, damya, it is similar. Meaning, we consider the 2 days Rosh Hashanah for certain stringencies, we consider it as if it's one day. V'hainu, l'chumra k'mo hacha. And again, we consider one long day only when you're talking about being more strict upon ourselves, like the case here. Aval, however, le'inyan mabish aryom tov, that which on other days of Yom Tov, asur la'asos miyom alef liyom beiz, it is prohibited to do from one day to the next, kidul kaman b'simon kuf alef, as we learn later in Simon kuf alef, or 101, ein chiluk ben shar Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah, there is no difference in Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah, degam b'Rosh Hashanah asur, also in Rosh Hashanah it's prohibited, derekula lo amrinan, because to be lenient we do not say this rule of keyoma arich tadamya, like one long day. Meaning, just to summarize, that in the event that, first of all, the Rosh Hashanah bit, very simple, Rosh Hashanah is considered one long day, in that anything which is prohibited on the first day is also prohibited on the second day, right? Any nolad which came into being on the first day of Rosh Hashanah is prohibited also on the second day, as opposed to other holidays where there are 2 days of Yom Tov in the diaspora, where in the transition from day one to day two, the item does become permitted. But the 2 days Rosh Hashanah are still considered 2 days in that we know on Yom Tov that all the melachos that one is allowed to do on Yom Tov, like cooking or even melachos of setting up, one may not prepare during Yom Tov for the following day. And one may not prepare, when one is in the middle of Yom Tov, it is a desecration of the honor of Yom Tov to start preparing for things that are after Yom Tov. So that is also the case from one day to the next. And with regard to that idea, we do consider Rosh Hashanah still 2 days. Meaning on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, one may not prepare for a second night of Rosh Hashanah until nightfall has fell. Now, the idea that Nolad becomes permitted on the second day of Yom Tov is pretty simple. When something comes into being in the middle of Yom Tov, or Shabbos for that matter, but in the middle of Yom Tov, then, like we said, that item was not designated for Yom Tov. It was not designated to be used on Yom Tov, and therefore it is as if one had excluded it. One said, I will not be using this. The reason you said that, or rather implied that you said that, is because it didn't exist, so I could not have prepared it. That is a classic case of Nolad. That is the issue of, for example, like ice that melts or snow that falls, or if somebody has a hen that lays eggs, or things like that. Now, that being the case, but if there's 2 days of Yom Tov, so the reason that we keep 2 days of Yom Tov in the diaspora is because our minhag dates back from the time when the calendar was not set, and the Beis Din in Yerushalayim would set the calendar every month based on testimony of the moon. And in the diaspora, they didn't always know which day was the first was the new moon, which day was the first of the month. And so they would, just to be sure, they would observe holidays for 2 days, right? It would not apply to Shabbos, because Shabbos is the seventh day no matter what. So it doesn't matter when the new moon was. But holidays, based on the calendar, which would fluctuate, needed the Beis Din in Yerushalayim to tell them. Now, frequently, the Beis Din in Yerushalayim was able to get message to everyone. However, the custom in the diaspora was to hold an extra day of holiday. And despite the fact that nowadays, the calendar is set, and second of all, we have excellent communication, and we would know what the Beis Din said. But it's irrelevant, because once the custom was adopted by all Jewish communities in the diaspora, and adopted and quote-unquote anchored in, that is the custom, and there is no changing it. So, that being the case, one can understand that the 2 days of Yom Tov are in fact almost mutually exclusive, meaning it's either or. Now, we happen to observe them both, and the reason we observe them both is because we make sure that if there is a day which is a holiday, that we absolutely observe it, and we do not chas v'shalom perform malacha or something like that. But practically speaking, there's nothing wrong. Practically speaking, we can understand that if yesterday was Yom Tov, and the egg that was laid on first day Yom Tov was quote unquote prohibited because of Nolad, then that means that today I'm observing Yom Tov, but it's not really Yom Tov, and therefore today it'll be permitted. And vice versa, if let's say yesterday was not Yom Tov, because we quote-unquote misunderstood the calendar, and really yesterday was the extra day we're adding, so then today is Yom Tov, but for today, well, the egg was laid yesterday. So this catch-22 is the reason that Nolad is permitted from one day Yom Tov to the next. It obviously, like we said, does not apply in Rosh Hashanah, because in Rosh Hashanah we consider both days obligatory days, and that's why it does not apply on Shabbos, because if anything was came into being on Shabbos, so Shabbos it is muktzah, and one cannot prepare on Shabbos for after Shabbos. And so therefore, it is the same thing. It is also the same thing. If Shabbos is adjacent to Yom Tov after it, one may not prepare something which you did not have in mind, right? The Erev Tav Shilin allows you to prepare on Yom Tov for Shabbos, but it only applies to things which you could have had in mind. So something which comes Nolad in the middle of Yom Tov will not be permitted until after the following Shabbos, because one could not have prepared for it. Okay, that was an in-depth explanation which may have sort of gotten us lost. So just to quickly summarize, a muktzah by the type of Nolad, something which came into being on Yom Tov, it is prohibited on Yom Tov itself. It is permitted from one day Yom Tov to the next, meaning if it came into being on first day Yom Tov, it's permitted on the second day, but that is only the case when you're talking about a regular 2 day Yom Tov, not Rosh Hashanah, and not involving Shabbos. V'im chal Rosh Hashanah b'yom hei v'yom vav. And the last example says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in the end of Sif Beis, if Rosh Hashanah fell on Thursday and Friday, afilu nol d'biyom hei asura gam b'Shabbos. That is like the most extreme case. 3 day Yom Tov, should I say 3 day Rosh Hashanah, where the first 2 days are Rosh Hashanah and the last one is Shabbos. If the egg was laid on Thursday, meaning some nolad item, let's say snow fell on Thursday, hope snow doesn't fall on Rosh Hashanah, that's a little bit extreme, but perhaps it could happen, depending on the climate. So, if that's the case, so it is prohibited all day Thursday, obviously, because it was nolad that day, all day Friday, obviously, because both days of Rosh Hashanah are considered, quote-unquote, one long day, and so we don't have that second day automatically permitted injunction. And it is also prohibited on Shabbos because even though one may have an Erev Tavshilin, that only works for something which one prepared before Yom Tov, and this was only prepared on Yom Tov because it was formed on Yom Tov. So for Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos, all that nolad is prohibited. Shachat Tarnegoles Umatza Babeitzim. Let's say on Yom Tov one slaughtered a chicken, which is as permissible as was discussed earlier, and found eggs, afilu hingamuros, even if they are fully formed eggs, mutaros afilu bo bayom, they are permitted even during the day, even that day. The reason they're permitted that day is because that which you slaughtered, so obviously if you prepared the chicken for slaughtering before Yom Tov, which you need to do, you can't just sort of come upon a random chicken on Yom Tov and decide to slaughter it, it must be prepared ahead of time, so then anything which is part of the chicken is also grandfathered in and is also permissible. That was Sif Beis. Sif Gimel. Eitzim lo hutru b'tiltol elo l'tzerech hasaka. Wood, or, you know, slivers of wood, kindling or tinder, are not permitted to be carried only for fuel, meaning only for burning. But you can't just take random wood chips from the pile and use them for other things. Aval shelo l'tzerech hasaka, but for not for using it for fuel, asurim b'tiltul, they are prohibited for carrying, meaning they are quote unquote muktzah, and one may not carry them. V'lachin, and therefore, ein somchin lo asakdera v'lo asadelas bivikas. One may not prop up somchin prop lo asakdera, not the pot and not the doorway with. Bekas is like a wood chip, right? For those that have wood fires and, you know, constantly fuel their wood fires, so there's kindling or chips that burn easily and one uses, and then there's the logs. So logs, obviously, you know, are used for fuel, but perhaps, you know, a little piece of wood is sometimes good if you're trying to balance a pot on a fire, you know, on a flame stove, or perhaps, you know, you just want to use it to just prop open a door or prop open a window. Again, nowadays, it's a rarity. We don't have such things because we usually don't use wood for fuel, and so we don't have this stuff around. But you can imagine that if you had this stuff around, then, yeah, you would just sometimes need it to prop something or do something like that. One may not use the wood sitting there waiting for fuel for those uses because it is not prepared for those uses. It is only prepared for burning. If Dalid, Efer Kira, ash from the stove, Shehusak me'erev Yom Tov, that was already lit on Erev Yom Tov, meaning cooking all day Erev Yom Tov, obviously preparing for the holiday, and that cooking generates ash, right? That generates, you know, coal dust, ash. Again, this is stuff from, you know, when you're talking about cooking with actual fire. Mutar l'tatul b'Yom Tov, one may carry it on Yom Tov, because it is ready for all the uses of a person. Right? Ash is tremendously useful. Certainly, those that ever used an outhouse or, you know, are in a place where outhouses are frequently used know that absolutely there's an ash bucket there, and the ash is used to sprinkle over everything to you know, keep out smells, keep away bugs. Ash is also used for other things. Sometimes it is used. You know, it is re-moistened with some water and is used to tamp down certain things, right? Again, you know, back before our modern conveniences, so we were very resourceful and we used and reused many items and many byproducts. And this is just being stated here that ash is absolutely permissible. lechasos botzoa, to perhaps cover somebody, an outhouse use, or roke, or somebody needs to spit, v'chadome, and similar things. That is all ash that was generated on Erev Yom Tov, because that is considered prepared. V'im husak b'yom tov, however, ash that was caused from that which is kindled or that which was burned on Yom Tov, im hu adayin cham, if the ash is still warm, shiroi letzlos bo beisa, that one could actually cook an egg, right? That's another thing, an egg can be cooked. You just, burning embers, or should I say still warm ash, right? Certainly those who cook with campfires and things know this, that you don't need a flame to cook. Sometimes you actually want to wait until the flame dies out and you just have warm ashes. And you bury things there. You can bury potatoes in ashes, eggs, you can bury a pot in ashes for slow cooking. So even if there's enough ash, right, obviously an egg will cook much faster than other things. If the ash is still warm enough that it could cook an egg, which is a very low degree, mutar l'tato l'kol tarchei adam, one may carry it for all items, because once you may use it, right, certainly I can cook the egg on Yom Tov, that is absolutely permissible, and once I'm allowed to cook the egg, once I'm allowed to take the ash in order to cook the egg, then it's sort of, I'm allowed to take it for all other uses as well. Aval, however, im nitzdanin, if it is cooled off, asur betiltul, then one may not carry it, mishum dehavilei nolad, because now it is that dreaded category of nolad, it came into being on Yom Tov, I could not have prepared it beforehand, and currently, it has no use. Or rather, I should say, currently, it was unprepared. It might have a use, but it was unprepared. It was nolad. Etmol haya etzim. Yesterday, it was wood. V'hayom efer. And today, it's ash. V'garua mimukta. And it is even worse than regular mukta, meaning that it is, on Yom Tov, it is certainly more set aside than mukta. One absolutely may not use it. And to cap it off, Sif hay, a gozim, nuts, she'acham kodem Yom Tov, that you've eaten them before Yom Tov, mutar lahasik b'klipehen, nut shells, right? If you're talking about peanut shells, walnut shells, whatever it is, if I've eaten them before Yom Tov, then their shells may be used. I could toss them in the fire. I can use them for kindling. Anything which burns could be used for fuel, and that is fine. Aval, however, imacharon be Yom Tov, if I eat them on Yom Tov, also lahazik b'klipehen, I may not use their shells for kindling. Again, for the same reason, because that is nolad. V'afilu l'taltu on azar, and even to carry them is also forbidden. That is the same reason over and over again. They're nolad, meaning yesterday they were food. Food, obviously, food I prepare, right? As a side point, I don't have to declare which food I'm going to eat on Yom Tov, right? One can sort of passively assume that any food I have in the house is fair game to be consumed on Yom Tov. One need not, micromanage and prepare a detailed menu. Anything which fine, and even if you have something in like a far corner in the pantry that, you shoved in there and, you don't remember that you had it, all that stuff is sitting there waiting to be eaten. And so that does not fall into the category of not prepared for Yom Tov. But this, well, it didn't exist yesterday, meaning yesterday was food. It was nuts. That's fine. The food is fine. But I can't now use the peels, or the shells, rather, for kindling. I can't use them for the fire because, well, they weren't firewood yesterday. And so as firewood or kindling, they were not prepared. And so then they are nolad. V'chein sh'ar klipos, and also all other peels, even though other peels are available or ru'uyin, they are fitting for use of an animal, meaning animals can eat peels, no problem, right? Let's say I peel my banana, I peel, other things, potato peels, all sorts of things. Those who maintain animals know that absolutely what would be, quote-unquote, the waste product, or I should say at least the byproduct of food preparation in a kitchen for humans, right? You just put it in a bucket and feed it to the animals, right? That's what animals can eat. But I can't do that on Yom Tov. Meaning that, obviously, I'd have to, as I'm preparing the food on Yom Tov, I'd have to put that stuff aside, and then it's muktzah, and then only after Yom Tov may I give it to my animals. But on Yom Tov itself, I have to feed the animals from animal food that was prepared before Yom Tov. Meaning, so let's say I've got, you know, I'm cooking my whole day Erev Yom Tov, all the scraps and the peels that I generated before Yom Tov, that could be mukhan, that could be prepared and ready and ra'ui and fitting for my animals, and then I could feed them. But scraps, peels, things that are generated on Yom Tov may not be fed to the animals because they're nolad. They're quote-unquote came into being in their new iteration, in their new title, on Yom Tov, and they were not prepared beforehand. De'etzmol hayu omdim le'adam, because yesterday they were, omdim, they were waiting, they were ready for a person. Meaning that which was people food before Yom Tov, and then during Yom Tov gets processed, and now becomes animal food, that's a change of category, change of description, and therefore it does fall under the category of nolad, and is therefore prohibited. That was the end of Sif Hei, and that was the end of Simon Tzadi Tesh.